After an argument with his partner, Ladessa, Brandon Lawson got into his truck to drive to his dad's house in Crowley, Texas, roughly a 3.5-hour drive. In the early morning hours of August 9th, 2013, his truck ran out of gas. After multiple calls for help, he vanishes. Despite both ground and air searches, many questions remain.
When a crime is committed, the criminal will leave behind something. It may be a description, DNA, or physical evidence. The description from a neighbor's passing glance or stare, perhaps DNA collected from underneath a courageous victim's nails, or physical evidence in the form of a single forgotten fingerprint. Together, these things help create an account of the crime. This is the criminal's print on the scene. Welcome to the Criminal Prints Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Criminal Prints Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We love having you. As always, this is your host, Zach.
And your co-host, Jaron.
Today, we are on part two of the disappearance of Brandon Lawson. If you haven't heard part one, I would highly recommend you go back and listen to it now.
To start part two, we're going to talk about Kyle Lawson and the fact that he was considered a suspect or person of interest early in the investigation. A few months after Brandon's disappearance, Kyle was brought in for an interview with law enforcement. He met with Ranger Hanna and Sheriff Wayne McCutcheon from Johnson County. They asked him if he had gotten into an argument and if he had hurt his brother. They also asked Kyle if he had given Brandon a ride somewhere. He told them he had not, and he requested a lie detector be administered. Eventually, he did take that lie detector test, and he passed. Remember when Brandon disappeared that Kyle was with Audrey, his girlfriend, the whole time. So in order for Kyle to have anything to do with Brandon's disappearance, Audrey would have to as well, which of course does make it even less likely than it already was that Kyle was involved.
There were rumors that Brandon had actually cashed out his 401k shortly before his disappearance. Riley Crane was his supervisor at Renegade Well Services, and they asked him about this. Riley said, quote, "I am not sure if that is right or not. I've heard some people say that, but I don't think he really did," close quote. When Ladessa was asked about this, she said that he didn't, but, quote, "he thought about it," close quote.
Law enforcement's been pretty clear about what they believe happened to Brandon, so let's jump into that a little bit. Just days after Brandon disappeared, Deputy Neal, Texas Ranger Lieutenant Dwayne Gull, and Sheriff McCutcheon had a meeting. At that meeting, they came to the conclusion that Lawson was probably no longer in Cook County, but they still wanted to look into the availability of a helicopter to search for him. We know that this search took place and that nothing was found. Deputy Neal wrote, "It was determined that Lawson was not on the ground due to the fact that there was a lot of exposed bare ground, even under the short mesquite and cedar bushes."
At the time Brandon disappeared, they were in the middle of a really bad drought. The leaves were drying up and the river was extremely low. Deputy Neal said that the deepest part of the river at that time just reached his knee. So this certainly does put it in perspective. During one of the plane searches, Deputy Neal said that you could see corn sacks from the air. And he added that, quote, "if you can see those from the plane, you can see someone laying down," close quote. He continued that, quote, "if someone wants to be gone, they can," close quote.
He said that Brandon's active warrant could be a contributing factor for why he is gone, which, of course, makes sense. Deputy Neal believes that after he and Kyle left the pickup that night, Lawson walked back to the roadway and was able to get a ride from a passing motorist. His report concluded that Brandon Lawson is not in Cook County, lost or hiding. Brandon's family and loved ones disagree with law enforcement's conclusions on this. Brad Lawson, his father, said, "Something happened that night and it wasn't him meeting a girl and driving off somewhere." I wonder why he mentioned Brandon meeting a girl, as that hasn't come up anywhere.
When Brandon's father, Brad, was asked about his outstanding warrant possibly being a reason he chose to disappear, Brad said, quote, "Brandon had already done some state jail time, and Brandon wasn't afraid to take the punishment that was dealt to him, close quote. He continued that, quote, "No, I don't believe that. Not for a minute. It took a lot more than that to scare Brandon," close quote. LaDessa is also adamant that something had to have happened to Brandon, and he didn't choose to leave on his own. When asked about leaving on his own, she said, quote, "Brandon would never do this in a million years," close quote.
Because of some of Brandon's past struggles, we have to talk about a theory that revolves around drugs. It's possible that Brandon was high on drugs and he just wasn't in a good state of mind. According to Kyle, he had relapsed just days before. His fight with his girlfriend also kind of points to this theory. She kicked him out because she suspected he was back on drugs. And the 911 phone call, it's really hard to understand. Parts of it are incoherent, which could be, of course, adrenaline, fear, or drugs.
A couple questions that come to my mind is, could Brandon have been on drugs, which caused him to become disoriented and get lost in the fields? If so, he might not have been able to get out of the field on his own power. Remember, during his phone call to Audrey, he did say he was bleeding. Did Brandon hide when the police officer was there? Was this intentional, or was he already running through the fields? Reception for cell phones were not great in that area, especially at that time. Now, when Brandon went missing, the temperature was only 78 degrees. However, the next day the high temperature was 102 degrees. This is the dead of summer in Texas. It is obviously very, very hot. So, my question now would be, how long would an injured person survive with no food and no water in Texas during the summer heat?
It's very peculiar that Brandon decided he needed to drive 3.5 hours away, despite his brother only being 5 minutes away, and we can tell that he was close to his brother. Additionally, it's unusual that he wouldn't notice his truck was out of fuel. We know he wasn't in a good state of mind, and again, it could be anger, it could be adrenaline, or it could be drug use.
There are certainly some questions with the injury theory. For example, they've had multiple searches of the area since Brandon disappeared, both ground and air. Neither Brandon nor any of his possessions have been found in any of these searches. Personally, I would think that they would have found at least some of the evidence. However, it is very difficult to say. This isn't always the case. There have been many times where the area has been searched and they missed it, that years later, either evidence or human remains are found.
The 911 call has fueled speculation that there's foul play involved. Did Brandon see something he shouldn't have? Did that cause him to run away from his truck? If you take the 911 call at face value, he was in the middle of a field, possibly being chased in the woods, and he added, "Please hurry." He did seem to have panic to his voice, or definitely urgency. Brandon seemed to talk about running into somebody.
One part of Brandon's 911 call that is actually pretty clear is the end when he said, "No, I need the cops." In his mind, he was in trouble and he needed the police. It was enough of an emergency to call 911, which, not always, but typically, this is done as a last resort. It was also pitch dark. It was almost 1 o'clock in the morning. Did Brandon running out of gas make him an easy target for foul play? It's certainly possible.
No body or evidence was ever found, and that gives credence to this theory. If it was foul play, his body and other evidence could have been moved, including the truck. Especially if it was an experienced killer or a serial killer. Having said this, what are the odds of that really in this situation? It's a small town, it's late at night, there was no other vehicles there, at least when the cops and Kyle arrived. It does seem unlikely.
Another possibility is after his last cell phone communication, Brandon could have caught a ride with a passing motorist. This motorist could have been looking for harm and hurt or killed Brandon. Similar to the previous theory, this would explain why no body or evidence has been found in the searches. He could have been driven anywhere and his body and the evidence disposed of. However, this leads us to the same question as before. Who would have been in the area looking to harm somebody at that time in the morning?
Of course, there's always the possibility that Brandon got a ride and he just disappeared on his own. This would explain why there was no body. It would explain why there's no evidence, because there would be nothing to find. Ladessa admits that they didn't have the perfect relationship. And she said they weren't the perfect couple. We grew up together. We were babies, but we were happy. And she added, we loved each other. However, they had just had a big argument the night he disappeared, and she did believe he was back on drugs, and he likely was. She didn't want this around herself or her kids, which is understandable.
Could Brandon have successfully left everything and started a new life? He could have. It's happened many times in the past with other people. They get an alias and start fresh. However, I will say this. It was much easier to do in the 1960s and the 1970s. With technology advancements that we have today, it's much, much harder to successfully do this. Remember, there have also been no verified sightings of Brandon since he disappeared, and he did have some very distinctive tattoos that would have easily been recognizable.
There's a part of the 911 call where it sounds like Brandon says something about running into somebody. Is it possible he ran into somebody with his vehicle and hurt them? It seems really unlikely in our opinions. There's no evidence, there's no damage to the truck, there's no body, there's no blood. And Deputy Neil and Kyle and Audrey got there before too much time had passed? That seems really unlikely.
By all accounts, Brandon was a phenomenal father. He was extremely devoted to his children. In the past, when he'd got himself in trouble, he had turned himself into law enforcement and dealt with the consequences. He didn't appear to be a runner. In fact, Brandon and Ladessa were saving money to get a lawyer to fight his active warrant. His cell phone has not been used since he disappeared. Not only his cell phone, but his bank account hasn't been accessed, or his debit or credit cards. If Brandon did choose to disappear on his own, he's done a great job of leaving absolutely no trace.
Let's talk about the current status of the investigation. According to Texas Ranger Nick Hanna, he's received multiple leads on possible sightings of Brandon. Unfortunately, quote, all of which have been determined to not be Mr. Lawson. In March 2019, Coke County Sheriff Wayne McCutcheon gave an interview about Brandon's case in which he stated, we've had some leads in the ensuing years, but we probably haven't even had a good lead in well over a year. And he added, very few credible leads. In all, less than five. Unless we get some additional information, the family's never going to know what happened. And we're never going to know what happened. Ladessa said, I just want to find him. To have closure on where he's at. Then we'll get to the point of what happened. No matter what, we would have somewhere to visit, not just a cross.
Brad said, quote, all along, I've stated the fact that I would like to find Brandon and bring him home where he belongs, close quote. Brad continued, quote, the chances of us finding Brandon alive are almost none, and I understand that, and I realize that, but he's not here. He deserves to be brought back home to his family, close quote. Kyle said, quote, my brother might have been a felon and might have messed with drugs, and he might have relapsed, but my brother worked for what he had. He loved his children. He took care of his children. He was a good person, close quote. Kyle added, quote, he wasn't some dope fiend living on the streets, robbing people, or trying to get over on someone to get high again, close quote.
Now we can get into the criminal print section, as we call it, or the evidence section. Sadly, we have very little evidence in this case. We have his F-150 that was found out of fuel on the side of the road. We don't know why he chose to get out of the truck. We have a 911 call, but unfortunately it's just really hard to understand. In fact, there's more questions than answers from this 911 call. We do have Brandon's cell phone pings. At 1:19 a.m., Brandon's cell phone pinged off a tower just south of Bront. His phone pings seemed to indicate that he walked north, away from the vehicle at 1:10 a.m. According to LaDessa, his last cell phone ping was roughly 3 miles away from his truck.
In a wooded area that's hard to see from an aircraft because of trees and shrubbery, LaDessa said that this wooded area hasn't been searched yet. Following a conversation with Sheriff McCrutchen and Ranger Nick Hanna, it was determined that the investigation will turn elsewhere and will not include any further searches unless new detailed information arises. However, both the sheriff and Ranger Hanna are aware of the new details of the last cell phone ping being in an area that's further away.
As we always do, we're going to give some impactful quotes from his family. His father said, "Brandon went up missing in the dead of night. How far could he actually have gone in that terrain? How far could a man have gone in a pair of shorts without any water or anything to drink?" His brother Kyle said, "For a person to have a wallet, keys, and a full keychain, socks, shoes, shirt, a wallet full of cards and money and an ID, and a cell phone and cell phone case, all of that stuff, and not one single thing has been found out there. I just don't understand that."
For tips and information, you can contact the Colt County Sheriff's Office at 325-453-2717. You can also contact on Facebook the Brandon Lawson tip page. You can message them, and I have done this, and they are very good at getting back with you. And remember, you can always call 911 with any tips or information. And if you know anything, please share. I would love to see the Lawson family finally receive answers. That wraps up our episode, part two of the disappearance of Brandon Lawson. I hope you enjoyed it, and I want to personally thank each and every one of you that listened and continue to listen to us on a weekly basis. If you would be so kind, please share us on your social media. The more people that are able to see the podcast, the more we can grow. Thank you again, everybody. Stay safe and have an absolutely fantastic week.
And remember, keep your record clean and your prints off the scene.